And here we are with the garden conversation.
Good morning.
With Mardell and Rebecca.
And like the song says, there's a season for everything.
Everything.
And it's a season now for putting stuff into our soil and making our soil healthy as we plant. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, and I wanted to bring you a quote from Jeff Lowenfels from his book, Teeming with Microbes.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a wonderful outlook on how alive our soil is. And the quote is, "A mere teaspoon of garden soil, as measured by microbial geneticists, contains a billion invisible bacteria, several yards of invisible fungal hyphae, several thousand protozoa, and a few dozen nematodes. And within that billion bacteria are 20,000 to 30,000 different species of bacteria."
Wow.
And that is all within one teaspoon of soil. So
wow.
It really is alive.
It's a living thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty intense thing when you start thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we want to think about this time of year feeding our soil because it is alive, and that's what's feeding us. And
which is really the whole purpose of eating is to get nutrients in, and the only way
we
get nutrients is how things are growing.
Right, that's right. You are as healthy as your soil is.
We've kind of forgotten that whole thing. When you go to the grocery store, you just buy what's there, and we don't even really think about whether that carrot has got adequate nutrients in it. But when you grow it, you can think about that. You can think, okay, I need to make sure that I'm getting as many nutrients in as I can.
Right. And when you have your own garden, you can really make sure those micronutrients are in there. And they're proving to be more and more important, not just the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium that we're used to thinking about, but having a balance of those micronutrients, especially in our rainy climate where the rain is always leaching them out. We can keep adding things in that will keep those micronutrients in the soil and they'll keep them going into our bodies and keeping us healthy.
So what was around before fertilizers and additives to the soil? How did things?
Good question. Well, one of the things that the recent research is showing that the mycorrhizal and the microbes and all of that sort of thing is what really allows the plants, the relationships is what allows the plants to access those nutrients. And those were very healthy back in the day when you just went into the forest and dug a little plot of land out of it. Humans have destroyed a lot of that by making nice, neat, clean rows.
Tilling interrupts those.
Exactly. So
acid rain.
Yeah, that's right. And chemicals that we put on. And
right. If you don't know what mycorrhizae are, they're basically a network in the ground, a network of fungi that it's basically mushrooms are the fruiting body of mycorrhizae. And what they do is they're like an internet or a bunch of conduit in the ground, and they enable nutrients to be transported between plants. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, Adele? And actually, I looked up a bit about mycorrhizae, and I can talk about that later, some more details of it. But one of the things I wanted to ask you, Rebecca, is you have told me that you've had a test done for these micronutrients, which we've talked a lot on this show about getting a soil test done through Brookside Labs is one of the places.
Right.
But you had a different kind of soil test. I'm interested in that.
Right. It was a little bit different. It was done by Logan Labs, and they did some really specific micronutrient testing, and I have this nice black soil that you can find in different deposits around town, and I thought, oh, the soil must be really great. But it turned out I was low in everything except magnesium, like really low. And
except organic matter.
Except I was, 33% high in organic matter. So anyway, I went into looking at how I could get some more of these micronutrients back into my soil. Like, for example, calcium, which is really important to me to be uptaking through my greens. I eat, probably 95% of my vegetables come from my garden, and I eat them year-round. So it's really important to me to be getting the best nutrients I can through those vegetables. And so I looked at getting fishbone meal because it's a great source of phosphorus, but it also provides calcium. And my soil was super low in calcium. And then I got green sand, which is mined from sea bottom deposits. And it's a slow release of potassium, but it also has zinc, copper, molybdenum, boron, and manganese, which are all vital for plant and animal health. And you can just get that in a baled bag and spread it on, and in slow release, so it's
right.
not
green
going
sand
to,
is not going to be yeah. effect like next week or even no. maybe next month.
These are long term mm-hmm. things you can put in your soil without harming anything. And I also got azomite, which is volcanic ash, and it provides calcium as well, potassium, magnesium, and sodium. And so what I was doing was mixing those things together, adding a little agricultural lime, and just raking those into the top 2 inches of soil. I just use a rock rake. So I'm not disturbing the rest of the soil, but I'm getting those micronutrients into the top couple inches of my soil. And but the whole idea is that my plants are going to uptake those, and then I will be able to uptake them into myself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And so I think that probably the reason you have this gangbuster garden, even though your soil tests come back and say, oh, you don't have
I don't
any
have
nutrients.
Anything in there.
I have the opposite problem. I have my soil tests show that I have a ton of nutrients, but I've never had it tested. Mm-hmm. I'm suspecting that I have very little mycorrhizae because I do find that I need to lift my garden soils in the spring because they get so compacted. And I've done a few trials of just planting in with a no-till. So far, I haven't figured out a way to make that work. And I'm going to continue because, mm-hmm. boy, the literature is out there that the tests show that when you lift soil, tillers are the worst. But even if you lift soil and move it, you are destroying that web of mycorrhizae. Mm. And that web of mycorrhizae, I am guessing, is what is giving the nutrients to your plants.
Right. That's our best guess because I actually have mushrooms sprouting in my pathways.
Yeah. Which is evidence that you've got a lot of mycorrhizae
right.
in there.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm not getting any, you know, like we're saying, mm-hmm. there's nothing showing up in the test. So.
And what it does, one of the reasons why this mycorrhizae is so important is and why I think it's working in your garden is because it allows a plant to expand its reach 1,000 times.
Wow.
So, you know, my little plant is sitting there and it can go out for, you know, however the roots go out, foot on each side. Mm-hmm. But if you have the mycorrhizae web, it can expand way out into the edges of your garden and
right.
whatnot.
And it transports nutrients.
And transports it. And the main one that is transported, the main reason, I guess I should back up a little bit and say the reason this works is because it's a symbiotic relationship between the fungus, which is the mycorrhizae, and the plant. And what happens is that the plant gets the nutrients and the water uptake, and then the fungus gets the carbohydrates, the glucose, that the plants photosynthesize. Well, if you have too much phosphorus in your soil, which I have very high phosphorus, that's why I'm convinced I don't have much mycorrhizae, the mycorrhizae is not necessary. The plant has no need to keep this fungus alive.
Yeah,
so if you have over 100 parts per million of phosphorus, mycorrhizae is not inclined to proliferate. And so if you're interested in keeping mycorrhizae going, don't dump on a lot of phosphate. It helps bring in other nutrients as well, but phosphorus is one of the main motivators for the plant to keep it alive in that symbiotic relationship.
So that's really interesting. We have two really different methods going on, and we're both really successful growers. You're out the road and you're tilling and you're adding, you know, your standard nutrients of different sorts, lots of seaweed, lots of compost. I know you do it all. And you're having great results. And I have a garden that's high organic matter, very low and everything else. But apparently,
and you've got great results
I have
too.
Mushrooms. And they're growing well too. So basically what we're seeing is, you know, there isn't any one thing. It depends on what kind of soil you have.
It does, very much so.
And and also where you are, what your microclimate is too.
Well, one of the things that I have become aware of is my idea about soil has really shifted in that in looking at it as a living organism, it's just like when you go to, if all three of us went to the doctor and we got the same disease, we might be treated differently because we have different bodies, we have different other conditions and whatnot.
Different defenses.
Different genetics. the soil is the same way. There's not one answer. My garden mm-hmm. is probably not going to need the same treatment as yours mm-hmm. because it's different. It's a living organism, and especially with those statistics that you read at the beginning, 20,000 different mm-hmm. microbes in 1 teaspoon of soil. Mm-hmm. So we have to treat it as this living organism that is constantly shifting, and yours is different than mine.
And it also responds to positive vibes.
It does.
It does. And so that
talk
could be
it.
Talk to it. If you ever read The Secret Life of Plants,
mm-hmm.
mm. yeah.
Well, there
just
is a value.
To it.
The other day when I was lifting my soil up, and I was going, oh, I'm sorry, I don't want to be destroying this. But at the same, so I do think that there mm-hmm. is a value of respecting that as a living organism instead of just being dead dirt, which is how I was taught to think of soil.
Oh, yeah.
So,
mm-hmm. yeah. So you have any questions this week?
Well, actually, this was kind of a question that both of us have gotten. We get quite a bit from people. What should we add to our soil and how do we improve it? But we have not gotten any specific questions about plants or anything like that in this week. So we chose to talk right. about the soil health this week.
Right. But one question we hadn't addressed was what role do microbes play
That's
in
true.
The soil? We talked
yeah.
about mycorrhizae, but what about mm-hmm. the microbes?
Okay. The microbes are the bacteria, the protozoa, the nematodes, those 20,000 mm-hmm. Different species of things. And what their purpose and one of their main functions is that they're going to decompose the organic materials in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it an interesting question of whether you can have too much organic matter. You have 33%, and I've just two other people have called me and said, I got my soil test back, and I've got 30% organic matter. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I don't really think that that's a problem, but I don't know.
Yeah, there's this thing called the cation exchange capacity in the soil, which is mm-hmm. what makes nutrients available to plants. And they say if your organic material is too high, it actually impedes that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to worry about it
right.
because I'm not going to haul in a truckload of sand and distribute it on my soil in order to interrupt the mass of organic material. Mm-hmm. So I just decided I wasn't going to worry
about it.
Well,
and the other thing that organic matter does is it improves the soil tilth, which is mm-hmm. so important, is that the texture of the soil and the water pours the space mm-hmm. for water and air because as a living organism, the soil right. needs water and air. And if you don't have that, which comes with the organic right. matter, you don't have a healthy soil.
Right. And what's the big difference, Mardell, if I was to put chemical fertilizer on my soil? Why is it so different than using organic supplements?
Well, one of the main reasons is that it really affects the microbes. Any of the chemicals, any of the sides of, you know, the salts and the sides that you put into a soil, what it does is it draws out the water of these microbes. And mm-hmm. so then the microbes are either dead or dormant, one of the two. Mm-hmm. So yes, you can still grow a garden without those microbes, but you have to keep adding the nutrients. Instead, the microbes are helping you and making the plants grow. So these farms down south where they put in, like my family farm that I grew up, you put fertilizer on every spring. Yep, you can grow crops doing that, but you have to put the fertilizer on maybe right. two times during the life
right.
of the crop.
And the plants become dependent on that.
They're
well.
Very dependent. Yep.
And versus a plant that knows how to get its own nutrients in a soil that's alive, and we're hopefully helping that soil be more alive.
Right, which
so
is the whole idea.
Difference. Yeah.
Which is the whole idea of why, of keeping the soil as a living entity is so that it can do the work for you instead of you having to put it in.
Wow, this is like soil 101.
Well, I tell you, it's one of the things.
It's not just dirt anymore.
It's not just dirt. And when you get a soil test and you start looking at it and you analyze it or you try to figure it out what it means for your garden and you start doing the research, you really get a little bit, intimidated, overwhelmed of how much there
uh-huh.
is to know
yeah.
And how much there is to learn about it. And there's new research that's happening. And, right. and if we were doing this show 10 years ago, a lot of this information was really, if it was out there, it was sketchy. There wasn't a mm-hmm. lot of it. So there's a lot new stuff coming out. So,
well, thank you so much. That you've given us a whole lot of information.
We hope that helped instead of made it worse.
I know, that's exactly right. We don't want to overwhelm people, but it is a beginning of looking at it and thinking about it. When you lift your soil, think about this as being one big, huge living organism. So,
and there is that soil and salt and soil marketplace thing going on in Haines. Actually, there's a meeting tonight,
yes.
5:30 at the library.
Yep. That's right. Yeah. For people who have extra extra produce and whatnot, it's a system of being able to
market,
sell
it.
And
mm-hmm.
to
right. distribute it.
Distribute it.
Yep.
It's a great thing that's happening in our community. So.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you so
right.
much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank Bye. You. The Garden Conversation with Mardell and Rebecca.